Jimmy, it was a, you have to be happy with your sojourn into Pittsburgh over the weekend and getting another stall.
Yeah, it was a great weekend for us. We made the trade. We got some good young kids in the draft. But when you talk about getting an elite player like Jordan Staal, your organization's got to be pretty happy.
Can you just walk us through those few hours on Friday afternoon when you first made the phone call to Ray Shero?
No, he made the phone call to me at 4:20. Told me it looked like they were going to have to move Jordan, and but he said, this has to be a hockey deal. We're not just moving him, and I said, I respect that. That's what it should be. We agreed to meet at 5:30 in his office, and after going back and forth and him going back out to the floor to talk to another team, he called me back in his office, and we finalized a deal at 6:45.
Would it be correct to assume that team he was talking to was the New York Rangers?
I don't know for sure. I did talk to Glenn partway through the draft that night, and I don't know if he was joking or serious or what the point was, but he did say that that we stepped aside for you so you could make the deal to get Jordan. So I took
it. Was very good of him, wasn't it? Don't you think that was really good of Glenn?
It was good, yeah. I thanked him. But I take it from that comment that they were the other team.
Jim, you were in an interesting spot there because, Ray Shero comes to you and says, I've got to make a trade and it's got to be a hockey deal. And there's a lot of GMs who would try to grind Ray Shero at that point. Didn't sound like you did, that you wanted to get it done as fast as you possibly could. Just why was it important for you to be as agreeable as possible?
You don't fool around with deals like this. There's certain players you're trading for, and you can negotiate real hard and stretch them out. But when you get a chance to get a player like Jordan Staal, you don't fool around. And you pay whatever the price is within reason. We traded Brandon Sutter, who we had no intentions of trading at any time in his career.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're getting an elite player like Jordan, you usually have to put somebody in that you don't want to. And I just felt that by letting this thing linger on, letting one of the big market teams get involved and having a whole year to sign him, possibly offering him $20-25 million up front or whatever these big deals are that some of these players have gotten in the past. It may have been a deal that he might not have refused, and we wouldn't have got another shot at him.
How much can we read into your belief about the depth of this draft, the fact that you gave up your number 8 spot?
That doesn't matter to me whether it was number 8 or number 2. I got the player I wanted.
Yeah.
I will say that on our draft list, we felt very comfortable with the top 10. And there were even players taken after the 10 spot that we would have felt very comfortable taking at 8. So I think there was some good depth in the draft and some very good players. But it wasn't about giving up the draft pick. It was about who we got.
Out of curiosity, Jim, how many times did you turn down deals for Brandon Sutter previously?
Not too often, because I think everybody understood that we weren't moving him. I will say that in the last couple of months here in the off season, there have been a few teams ask about him in bigger deals, which we had absolutely no intention of moving him. But like I said, you get to a point where you give up somebody you don't want to give.
Jimmy, your team's name and your name have come up a lot in the last couple of weeks with discussions over big name players. And I know you can't talk about Rick Nash; that would be tampering. But it brings to light that there has potentially been a change in philosophy with you, or a little more money available for the team to be used at this time of year. Any way that you could comment on that?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. We're a year away from our new 10-year local TV deal that is considerably higher than we've ever had. So that puts us in a much stronger position. And the other part of it is we've been on a little bit of a rebuild here and kind of moving along at a maybe a little slower pace than we'd all like. But it's kind of like what LA did. They put some good young pieces together, and then they got to a point where they felt that the team wasn't that far away from being one of the good teams again, and maybe adding one or two bigger pieces would give us that chance, and we feel that's where we're at.
Can we then assume that you're not done?
Well, we're not done. We're not at the level where we think we should be yet. We'll poke around here a little bit in the next couple of weeks. Yeah,
Jim, I'm curious to know when you finally had the conversation, because of course it's now a well-known story that Jordan Staal was getting married the night that you traded for him and that you could only leave him messages initially. But when you first called, did you speak to Eric or Jordan first? And, you know, what was the reaction? What was that conversation like?
I spoke to Jordan at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. I was walking from the hotel to the ball game to see the Pirates and the Tigers play. We took our whole staff there after the game. After the draft, I mean, and he called me at that time, and it was one of the nicest, maybe it was the nicest phone call I've ever had with a player, because he was so appreciative of what we did. He knew that deal was not easy to make. He knew it wasn't easy to give up Brandon Sutter, and he was very respectful of that, but at the same time, very thankful to get to play with his brother. And so he handled it the way I would expect him to. I'm used to being around Eric and the Stalls, and I know how professional they are, and it was just a great conversation.
And I absolutely love the expression on your face on Friday night when in your media scrum a reporter asked you if you would be trading for Mark Staal too.
Well, that's obviously premature. I can't talk about that.
No. I'm not asking you to comment on that. I just said the look on your face was priceless. Yeah. It was like, how on earth do you expect me to answer that question?
Yeah, I know.
I tell you what, if you can find a way to get another Staal in your roster, I am
voting. Jared.
I am voting for you for Executive of the Year in July. Forget about April.
Well, I'm happy now to have three of them. We got to get Jared on track here and get him developed. But, man, to have two big center icemen like Eric Staal and Jordan Staal on one team, that is a huge step forward for the Hurricanes.
Who's going to fight to see who's on the first line of the power play? That's the question for me. I guess you could play Eric at the wing, though, couldn't you?
Yep, and there's nothing wrong with a little competition within the brothers.
And that's never happened, right?
and I know how that works with them. It'll be a friendly and respectful one. It won't get out of hand, but you can be sure that they'll there'll be a little competition there.